Beyond the Beauty is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Bobby Brown. So anyone that knows me knows I tell the truth, knows I'm very authentic. And when I like something, I can't stop sharing it. And I have been talking about Dr. Augustine Bader. I have tried so hard to get this name down. It's this cream in a bottle that's from a German scientist and his partner, who's a French investor. And it's incredible. I've heard about it through celebrities. I've heard about it through editors. But not until I actually tried it did I, you know, really fall in love with it. Even my future daughter-in-laws, who are 30, say it's the best thing they've ever used on their skin. So I'm really excited about talking to Charles, because it is an amazing product, an amazing idea, and I just want to understand what the company's about. Here's my conversation with Charles Rozier. So Charles, I'm so excited to finally meet you. I can't believe we have never actually even done a Zoom together.
That's true. That's true. We had done Instagram dialogues.
Email, text.
It's true. I feel like I know you though.
Same. It's been one of those weird friendships. So where are you right now?
I'm in Paris right now.
And how is it?
Listen, we have officially this curfew at 6. We're authorized to work, to eat, to sleep, and then go again. But no social life whatsoever. No restaurants open. It is what it is. I was more optimistic about 2021, but I guess we're all in the same boat.
We are, but since we're here talking about your business, it's kind of crazy how your business is flourishing during this pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, we happen to be on a sector that seems to, maybe due to those Zoom calls, you know, we still want to look hydrated, having skin moist. I guess the skincare sector has been a little bit privileged compared to others. So that's one of the privileges of that pandemic, is that we've been busy. So time is flying, which is good.
And one of my biggest problems is, anyone that follows me knows how much I love this product. I have such trouble pronouncing the good doctor's name. So if you can help me, please, because David laughs at me all the time.
Yeah.
Pronounce the name of this company.
So I will pronounce it Augustinus Bader. That's my way, but I'm French again. So, you know, he's German. So I guess everyone, you know, it's good. Everyone can take ownership of the way to pronounce it.
So Augustinus?
Augustinus.
Augustinus. Augustinus. Bader.
Very French.
Yes. Bader. In the American way, we call it AB or AB. Augustine Bader.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. What matters, and I'm not someone, I don't get paid a penny. Absolutely believe this product has changed my skin. I will never use anything else. And it's remarkable.
So, thank you so much. No, but it means a lot to us, because again, you know, coming from industry expert, it carries some weight, because obviously you have tried and you're trying, and you get gifted a lot of products to try. So for us, it's an endorsement coming from someone like you is big, because that's again a testimonial that the concept, which was to kind of translate Augustine's research into a skincare product, worked, you know, because it was a nice concept, but it could have failed.
Right. Well, let's talk a bit about your story and how you even met the good doctor and started this company, because you're not from the beauty space.
No, neither him nor me. Yeah, absolutely. No, we met through a common friend who is passionate about stem cell science. And he used to be, you know, he used to be the kind of guru of Steve Jobs at Reed College. That common friend, Robert Freeland, he was actually the guy who taught him yoga and brought him to India. So, and he was part of that same hippie community, and he became, like Steve Jobs, a self-made billionaire. And he's based out of Singapore, travels a lot, you know, like 3 continents in the same week. So he didn't want to, you know, to suffer from jet lag. He wanted to stay young and healthy, and was very interested into the stem cell science in that kind of anti-aging implications. And he introduced me, I was just one day telling me he was the best brain today in stem cell research. And because he was himself so obsessed about that sector, and he was a very demanding character, he's very similar to the personality you can imagine of Steve Jobs. So his endorsement meant a lot to me. I thought, wow, so if he's saying that, that's probably true. And I took really his word very seriously. And philanthropically, I was funding the research of a French professor called Étienne-Émile Beaulieu. And he was basically very advanced on research on trying to find a solution for spinal cord injury. And so I stayed in touch with Augustinus for the stem cell implication of spinal cord injury treatment, because my professor I was funding in France had another approach. And I wanted to put them in contact and keep the dialogue. And I visited Augustinus in Leipzig because, you know, he's still today the head of stem cell research at the University of Leipzig in Germany, close to Berlin. And he showed me the picture of a four-year-old girl that was burned, second, third degree, and was scheduled for skin graft. And after 4 days, after applying a wound gel he created in 2008, the skin of that child started to heal. And after 2 weeks, it was like visible. And so to cut a long story short, she didn't have to go through skin graft and she didn't have any scarring after just a few months. And I was shocked by the fact that such a treatment existed and the public was not aware. I thought, you know, this is so incredible because obviously burned child, they have to sometimes be reoperated up to 10 times. As they grow, they have to reopen the scar. So you have the psychological trauma and the pain, but avoiding scarring is actually huge in terms of consequences. And obviously such a product can have a big impact in war zone for the Red Cross, even for every, I guess, mother going with their children on holidays. And so I was really, again, shocked that that was created, that did, you know, exist and seem to work. And the pictures were there to show that it worked. And I discussed with another professor that has been collaborating with Augustinus and treating more than 50 patients on different type of wounds and burns and confirmed that in every single case it worked. And because I helped that other professor, I didn't have any liquidity to help Augustinus. And my mind was saying, okay, but how can we help that guy get that research out? You know, because as a university professor, he didn't have the financial means to fund it. And apparently, as he told me that day, pharmaceutical group, because half of humanity use fire to cook and get heating, but it's in developing countries. And therefore, burn accidents are in majority in developing countries. So it's not that interesting to fund the research of someone on burns, because it's not such a big thing in developing countries. I mean, thankfully, it's not such a big thing in developing countries, but it's unfortunate that it didn't seem the risk-reward for pharmaceutical group to be so interesting. And therefore, my mind was, okay, burn skin to perfect skin. So I thought wrinkle to perfect skin. And that it was during a dinner. So at the end of the dinner, I very candidly asked him if he could do an anti-wrinkle cream that worked. And he said, yes, why? And it took me 2 years for him to take that idea seriously.
So what experience did you have to say, I can do this and this could be something? I mean, talk a little bit about your career beforehand.
I mean, the number one quality I had is I was naive. I was totally enthusiastic by the concept and I was a hardcore believer and I went all in and I stopped everything I was doing. I had a flat in London that I sold to finance the beginning of it, and all my savings from 20 years were put in the project, and everyone around me thought I was completely crazy. And I was 100% convinced it would work, not having even a prototype in the hand. So yeah, so naive was the word. No, I had a past as an investor. I was partner in I worked at Goldman Sachs. I worked in a Brazilian investment bank as a partner. So, but again, nothing really prepared me to be an entrepreneur. But when I was about to study at university, I was passionate about medicine. So in some ways, that project reconciled two of my passions, because I had the dream to be an entrepreneur one day. And I always was fascinated by biology and how the human body was working. And suddenly I had a project that reconciled the fact of being an entrepreneur and dealing every day with great minds in the medical field, because Augustinus and his colleagues are just genius, and they are genius about how marvelous is the body as a machine, because everything about Agustin's discovery is really about the inner doctor, because it's about triggering your own stem cells to work and not actually manipulating or cultivating stem cells and injecting them from outside. It's really about, you know, empowering your body to work at its best. So I was crazy, naive, according to my entourage. With hindsight, I think they were right. And luckily, I did not listen to anyone, and I was crazy enough to go for it. And I guess a little bit of, you know, mix of luck and hard work. And obviously, the invention of Agustinus is amazing, because, as you said, if the cream didn't work, you would not be a fan. The only reason, that's also something fair to recognize, that the product is amazing.
And did the doctor need convincing to go into the beauty industry? Like,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he never used himself like a skincare beauty cream, and his wife is a doctor and probably never used one either. So I really think they did not understand the concept of financing a medical project, a research project with a skincare product, because they had no idea of, you know, the dynamics and the demand for this type of product in this type of industry. So I really persevered and went back. But the last time I decided this is really the last time I go there, I very bluntly told Agustus, I said, listen, Agustus, if we would have started 2 years ago, we would probably have a product in the market today. So what is holding you back? Because I was, again, offering to provide, you know, the financing, the structuring, putting the team together, etc. And so there was no kind of risk, according to me, to him, apart, of course, wasting a bit of time, which is a relevant risk. And that day, when I was really about to give up, he kind of confessed to me that in the last 3 months, he was giving to his patients a prototype of the cream. And that those patients, after 1 month, instead of calling him back to talk about their treatment and how they felt, they were calling him back to have another cream. And so in a very candid as well and sincere way, he said, you know what? People seems happy about that cream, so let's do it. And it was really like that. It was really, okay, people seems to enjoy it, so let's do it. And that's how it started.
So I don't know how much of this story is in your marketing of the product, because I think most people see this beautiful bottle, this very high price point, and they hear celebrities like it. They hear all sorts of things. So do you have a strategy in your marketing? Like, is this something that you talk about telling the story, or is it more just this beautiful blue bottle with this magic cream?
Personally, when I try to share that story, I show the picture of that little girl, that 4 year old girl, and that's enough convincing about, you know, the project. Now, when it comes to communication to the outside world, yeah, it's a debate I'm having with the team all the time, and I keep telling the team we need to go back to science. You know, we launched in March 2018, so that we're a very new brand, we're a very recent brand, and therefore our story becomes what people make out of it, because we don't have, as you know, you've been part of a big group, you were collaborating with Estée Lauder at some point in your life, and those guys have incredible means, financial means, when it comes to marketing. When you're an entrepreneur like you are today and I am today, you hustle with the financial means you have, which are completely different than those guys, than the big groups. And therefore, the celebrity endorsement was to us an incredible tool, as well as the journalist endorsement, like the beauty journalists who try the cream and then put black and white their own experience with the cream and endorsed it. It was this kind of, you know, cross references of journalists and awards and celebrities, etc. I don't think, what I've discovered is, I think for a premium product, people need to understand the reason why to buy. It's not enough. Celebrities are not enough. They might be enough for a $10 lip balm, but they're not enough to buy a moisturizer that is supposed to have an impact on the health of your skin.
I agree with you, because it's the true story, the authentic story is your point of difference. It's your above everyone else. You know, it's not just here's another cream. So did you launch with one product?
Yes, so we launched with one product and two texture, you know, the rich texture and the lighter texture. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, out of like, I guess we have now nearly 3 years of life. And out of those 3 years of life, nearly 2 years was just with those like two creams, the rich cream and the cream.
Right. You're expanding like crazy, which we'll talk about. But out of the cream and the rich cream, which one outsells? Because I know my favorite.
Yeah, the rich cream outsells the cream globally. But again, you know, it's like I guess colors and preference depending on your skin texture. You know, one could think that the cream could be used the day and the rich cream at night. I guess it's a combination of that and the climate. For example, LA is very dry and the winter in New York is very dry too. Now I think I heard the rumor has it that you're in Florida. I guess in Florida maybe the cream during the day is more relevant than the rich. I don't know, you know?
I love the rich cream just because I'm very dry. And I think I told you this. I really swear that my eyebrows have grown in because of it. Have you tried it for hair growth?
So yeah, it's something we're thinking about. Yeah, because the science behind, you know, again, nourishing the environment of your cells so that they work at their best, that philosophy works for your skin, but it does work as well for your hair. So, you know, hair loss is multifactorial. It can be linked to hormones, stress, etc. So it's a complex issue. But I think we do have potential to contribute positively to that issue. Yes,
it is, so. It's very exciting. So tell me about your pipeline, because you started with these two amazing products. And now how many SKUs do you have?
So I'm not even totally sure, but I guess around 9, something like that. Must be around 9, maybe between 8 to 10, I'm guessing.
That's it? It seems like more.
You think? So we have the hand cream, the moisturizer, body cream, body lotion, body oil, face oil, cleansing balm, cream cleansing gel.
Toner.
So exfoliating toner, yeah. Exactly what we call the essence. So we're at 9. So if we consider that the cream that have two texture, we are 10. I guess we have launched suddenly a lot of products this past year, 2020, between July and September. And the reality is it's not that we suddenly wanted an avalanche of products. It's that some products that were supposed to launch in February got delayed. I mean, we all had to reinvent ourselves due to the pandemic. And you know, some of our suppliers were based in Italy, and you know, Italy was hit very hard from the beginning. So it's not that we suddenly wanted to create this concept that we were going from 2 to 3 products to 10 in the space of, you know, 4 months. It's just that we don't have such a corporate planning, you know. We have Agustinus and the new product team, etc., working on the formula, and then we work on different projects that we think from talking to the consumers. We receive feedback, you know, the same way when we released the face cream, people were saying, oh, I love what I see on my face. Can I have that the same for my body? So we decide to do the body cream. But we don't kind of plan a precise date where to launch, depending on the strategy of season or whatever. It's like when something is ready, we get it out. And I know it can seem a little bit unconventional in some ways, but why not? At the end of the day, the main criteria for us is that the product match our standard. And I think if we're true to that, if we're true believers that the product are special and they add something, then the day they're ready, they should be there. They should be proposed to the consumer.
And by the way, it's the new way of doing business. So you are doing not, you know, you're not doing things traditionally. You don't want to be doing that. That's like, that's a beast that you could never change. I think you're in the sweet spot. I think you're exactly where you should be. How do you take care of yourself? What is your self-care routine? I mean, I speak to so many women. I don't speak to that many guys. So I'm just curious.
No, I've tried. Yeah, I guess like many people during the pandemic, I've tried to do sport. Like I've tried to impose on myself when I was waking up in the morning. The first phase of the pandemic, when we had confinement in Paris, we actually had something very weird. We had 3 months of good weather in a row in Paris from March to June. And I was born in Paris. And so I've been there for quite a few years now. And I've never seen that. And I'm lucky enough that I have a little bit of outdoor space. So I was every morning outdoor for 1 hour, you know, enjoying a bit of sun. I know it's not very good for the skin officially, but I like enjoying the sun. And that's where my agoxys butter helps me and repair a little bit the damage I do. But
it's not damage, it's vitamin D. It's healthy.
And I agree. It's vitamin D, a lot of SPF, a lot of SPF are chemicals, and we need to be careful about those chemical SPF too. So I've been kind of disciplined about doing sport, and I'd rather do sports like swimming and be in the ocean, but obviously being in Paris, I was disciplined in that. And I guess it helped me, you know. And as I said, I think we were very privileged to be busy. You know, we were in a phase of problem solving. We wanted to contribute as well for the pandemic. So we changed the production to create the hand treatment and to gift as well to hospitals and frontliners the sanitizers. And so we went on to those kind of getting busy. And actually getting busy just gets you through the day, because as you know, some of the people, they are based in New York. So waking up in Paris, I had my kind of morning a little bit free to do those sports. But then come 2 p.m. my time, the video call kicks in. And that was till dinner time, nonstop. And again, I feel blessed about that, because I think for a lot of people that unfortunately and sadly lost their job, the pandemic was probably harder because, you know, time, more anxiety, more worries about the future, about every day, I guess, and also more time to think about it. And so I think that was part as well, you know, being busy was also part of the self-care routine.
Okay, now I have a speed round for you. And these are the same questions I ask everybody. First of all, what does beauty mean to you?
What does beauty mean to me? Energy.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a really good one. What's your personal daily skincare routine?
It's been beefing up in the last 3 months, as you know. You know, I'm convinced about our products, so I add them to my routine. So I have a several step.
Yeah, what are your steps?
So I do cleanser, face oil, cream during the day, and I'm done. And then the same with maybe a retrim for night.
And how about the last TV show or movie you binged?
Oh, the Queen's Gambit.
Oh, it was so
really
good.
I really loved it.
Yeah,
amazing.
It was so good. And now you're in Paris. What have you eaten today?
Actually, Thai food. Yeah, very good Thai food. I love spicy food. And it's healthy food too. You know, I've tried, with the influence of Agustinus, I've tried to eat vegetables. I've tried to eat.
I don't know. When I'm in Paris, it's bread and cheese, but okay.
I know. That happens too sometimes.
Yeah. What is your favorite cocktail?
Recently, because I've been to Mexico recently on holidays, mezcalita, because I've heard that mezcal is not so processed. So I'm again trying to be healthy while being an alcoholic in Mexico.
No, yes. I believe in that. And what is Charles most looking forward to in 2021?
I mean, like all of us, I guess the end of the pandemic, because the end of, you know, worrying about our loved ones, the end of seeing people losing their jobs and, you know, anxiety everywhere. We all want that pandemic to be over for so many reasons.
Yeah. Well, first of all, congratulations on everything you've done. You've only started. I know the brand is one of the fastest growing skincare brands. By the way, I hear that your online searches have jumped from 5,000 to 40,000. Like, it's happening. You keep saying you're a small little brand no one knows about you. It's happening. So enjoy the journey. And I'm really excited I get to be somehow part of it. So
thank you,
nice
Bobby.
To meet you. And and so great to talk to you. And thank you.
Thank you.
Big kiss.
Bye.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.